Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Epistle of James, the third chapter, beginning in the first verse. St. James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large and it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives? Or a grapevine, figs? No more can salt water yield fresh." This is the word of God for us and for many, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Quick show of hands, who here has heard that saying before? Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Really? Interesting. Preach the gospel at all times. So it's a quote that we will say, and I have long heard attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And it's a saying that has a lot of truth in it. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. But there's some other parts of it, too, that are necessary for us to talk about. Some warnings against that saying. First of all, I hate to be the bearer of bad news to any of you out there on YouTube or Zoom who are familiar with this saying. There's no historical evidence that St. Francis of Assisi ever said it or wrote it. Now, I'm a firm believer that the truth and the power of a saying is not in who said it, but in the truth and the statement, so that doesn't mean that it's out. Just something that I was very surprised to learn. You see, St. Francis of Assisi is one of my favorite saints, if not my favorite saint. He's actually one of the most popular saints outside of the Catholic Church, mainly because St. Francis of Assisi is the patron saint of animals, and who doesn't love a good animal? He was also my confirmation saint when I was confirmed at Immaculate Conception Church just up the road. So I love St. Francis. And actually, for the longest time, and probably even still today, I love that quote, even if he didn't say it. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Usually, this saying is something that we use to talk about that being a Christian is about more than saying the right thing. That it's one thing to talk the talk, But it's a whole nother thing to walk the walk. And St. Francis would agree with us there. That it makes no sense to spend one day out of seven, 1 hour out of those 24 days, praising God, saying the prayers, singing the hymns, you know, back when we could sing, but then spending the rest of the time living as though none of it was true, that we didn't believe it. And in fact, even in the scriptures, Jesus says, not all of you who call upon me will enter into salvation. For some, I will say, I do not know you because of the work you do. So truly, if that's the reason we're using the quote to push ourselves to walk the talk, to live out what we profess as true, I'm right there for it. I will be right behind you, marching every which way you believe your faith guides you to go. But my concern with this saying is that it somehow makes us think that words don't matter. That words are somehow secondary and thereby not as good as actions, right? And we even have a saying in our society, right? Actions speak louder than words. Hopefully people are familiar with that one. And true, I understand that. It's one thing for me to stand up here and say what I might say, but if you see me out there not living it out, it's going to work harder against anything I say up here. It's why it can be so harmful to the church and to the gospel when we build up people only to watch them fall. We've seen that in the world around us in the last year, probably in the last 2,000 years in the church. We inevitably fail sometimes to live a life in keeping with the gospel. We're imperfect people. We're sinners, as we often say, and often say. And so, yes, we need to pay attention to how we live our life. Yes, we need to pay attention to the works we do, to the actions we do. But to say that that somehow makes words not matter is to miss the mark. Because I'm here to tell you that words absolutely matter. We can go time and time again to Scripture to be reminded that words absolutely matter. St. James writes about it quite a bit. But even at a more foundational level, let's go back to the beginning, our first Scripture reading this morning. In the beginning, when there was nothing, what is the first thing our Scripture tells us God did? God said. Then God said, let there be light. And in God speaking, light came into being. We look throughout the story of Genesis 1, the first 6 days of creation, starts with that same sort of phrase, then God said. And in God speaking, there was something where before there was nothing. It is by the word of God that creation comes into being. It is by the word of God that creation comes into being and it becomes good. And in the case of humanity, of you and of me, and of everybody else outside the walls of this church, God speaks, we are created, and it is very good. Throughout the 66 books of the Bible, we are reminded that we follow a God who speaks. Look at the stories of Abraham and of Moses, people who God spoke to, and in speaking to them, created a community. The people called Israel. In God speaking, God's people were brought up out of slavery in the land of Egypt. Time and time again, we hear God speak. Sometimes like that, speaking directly from God to a person. But very often, as in the case of the prophets, God speaks through us. Read the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, all of them. Yeah, there are times where they are recounting what happened and using their own words, but very often you will hear the prophet say, "Thus saith the Lord." The prophets do not speak on their own behalf. They speak for God. Their words become God's words. Actually, are, before even it's theirs, it is God's word that God has given to them. What do we say at the end of every Bible reading here on Sunday? The word of God for the people of God. In some places, you'll hear the word of the Lord. We call the Bible the word. And for us Christians, who is it we follow? We follow Jesus Christ. St. John, in his gospel, how does he start it? In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, we see what happens when the Word of God, that which God spoke, takes on human flesh. By his very actions, points back to what God says, what he says, for Christ is God. For the last 2,000 years, through the tradition of the church, we have seen more and more explanation and understanding for what God says and why it matters. Because it is by those words that we use that we are even formed into the community that we are today. Because words form a community. All of us are here today because at some point or another, the word of God fell on itching ears and people started nodding. We started to let the word of God in, not to just our ears, but into our heart, into our soul, into our mind. Allow the very word of God, whether it was through reading the Bible, through a small group, through a preacher, to form us into people who are different because of that word. Because of what was spoken. But there's a catch in some ways. It's not a catch. It's just something that goes along with being formed. Is that we as the church take on the responsibility to speak. Yes, our lives are formed so that when we live our lives outside the walls of the church and we do things, hopefully, by the grace of God, they resonate with the word of God. But so too, we learn how to speak. As one of my favorite theologians, Stanley Hauerwas, says, we learn to speak Christian. Hauerwas once gave a speech at a seminary graduation and said, often what is the job of a pastor is to teach the congregation how to speak a new language. Because the church should use words differently. I don't just mean by that what I often thought it meant growing up, which is that you don't use certain four-letter words. I've often said that I have heard some of the most beautiful, holy things come out of the mouths of sailors. But I have also heard truly awful things said with all the sweetness of a Christian. Words are a little more complicated. St. James tells us that. Because what St. James reminds us is something that we also risk losing if we don't think words matter, which is that we use them so carelessly. We don't think before we speak. We use words assuming that we know what they mean. Because they're just the words we're supposed to use, but do we know what they mean? Scripture and tradition have given us this wonderful vocabulary, this wonderful language to put into these words what faith is all about, what God is all about. Words like God, love, grace, salvation, sin, justice, church. They're words for many of us we have heard since before we can even remember. And for some of us, we've been saying them as long as we can remember. But how well do we know the words that we use? How often do we end up using Christian words, but we're a lot like Vizini from A Princess Bride going around shouting, "Inconceivable!" And we are in need of a community to come to us and say, "You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." And that's what this sermon series is going to be all about. Throughout the next few weeks, we're going to look at each one of those words. God, love, grace, salvation, sin, justice. It's a big one. Church. To go back to the scriptures and say, these words, what do they mean? How do we use them? How do we so incorporate them into our own vocabulary that not only are we formed by them, but our brothers and sisters who we are in relationship with are formed as well. So when the world out there starts to use its words, we can call them what they are. The more and more we know the truth, the more and more we can call out the lies that we see out there. And trust me, those lies are legion. They are everywhere. Words matter, my friends. Words matter to God because they are the way that God creates everything, redeems everything, guides us, and forms us. And they are, at the end of the day, one of the most important, if not the most important, ways we continue to communicate to others in the church and to those outside the church what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. For since the beginning and every day since, God has said something. The question, my friends, this morning and through this series is, how does the church respond? What does the church say when God speaks? Amen.